This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinsel. It's been quite a week for news in Washington, D.C. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified in front of both House and Senate committees about the lack of privacy for its users. And questions are being raised about President Trump's authority to take military action against Syria. With us to talk about these issues right now is Congressman Peter Welch. Congressman, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you.
So let's start off with the Zuckerberg testimony in front of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. You're a member of that committee. You watched and listened to how Mr. Zuckerberg answered a variety of questions concerning how the personal information of over 87 million Facebook users was used without their knowledge or their permission by a political consulting firm during the 2016 presidential election. Are you satisfied with what you heard from Mr. Zuckerberg?
No, he said the right things, acknowledged that they made, quote, a mistake, and analyzed how, and did commit himself to working to avoid making it in the future. But the bottom line here is that the big question is whether we're going to leave it to Facebook and other tech platforms to define privacy rights, or Congress, the people elected by all citizens, is going to define what privacy is and guarantee that it's protected. And he was open to working with Congress to have that done. But the point we're at now is actions are going to speak much louder than words.
In fact, during the hearing, you got into a discussion with Mr. Zuckerberg about this very issue, whether personal privacy should be protected by private businesses like Facebook or the federal government. Let's listen to that exchange.
And do you believe that the Federal Trade Commission or another properly resourced governmental agency with rulemaking authority should be able to determine on a regular basis what is considered personal information to provide certainty for consumers and companies what information needs to be protected most tightly?
Congressman, I certainly think that that's an area where we should discuss some sort of oversight.
There's not a big discussion here. Who gets the final say? Is it the private market? Companies like yours, or is there a governmental function here that defines what privacy is?
Congressman, I think that this is an area where some regulation makes sense. You proposed a very specific thing, and I think the details matter.
Privacy cannot be based just on company policies, whether it's Facebook or any other company. There has to be a willingness on the part of this Congress to step up and provide policy protection to the privacy rights of every American consumer.
Is it clear to you that legislation needs to be passed giving the federal government the authority to impose privacy rights and rules on social networking companies?
It absolutely is. I mean, that's a thorny and difficult debate to have, but there has to be standards. Because what happened with Facebook, where essentially they had no regulation whatsoever, and it was the Wild West, and the incentive they had was to harvest as much of our information as possible and to sell it for as much as they could get. They don't have the responsibility, ultimately, to honor the privacy concerns of individuals. They like to say that they will, but inevitably, there'll be a breakdown, and that's what we saw with what happened with Facebook. So the bottom line question with Mr. Zuckerberg is, who does decide on privacy? Is it a private company like Facebook? Well, most consumers don't think that works. They want to have a guarantee and peace of mind that the information, that the decisions are going to be their decisions, not a corporation's decisions about what information to share and disseminate. Now, I will say this, that in response to very specific questions I asked Mr. Zuckerberg, he indicated a appreciation for the right of the consumer to be the final arbiter. The question is when and if that hits his business model, will he continue to agree?
Congressman, I'm wondering if you've ever looked at one of those user agreements that are used by many social networking and online companies. Some of those are 30 pages long, and they give the companies the right to all sorts of private information and even access to a person's contact list. Do those agreements need to be written in plain English so that consumers have some idea of what they're giving up?
First of all, I never have read one. I mean, they give you a headache, and you don't have any confidence you could enforce anything. And it's a take-it-or-leave-it proposition. and everybody uses Facebook, so they go on it. In my view, is this is why you have to have a properly resourced agency that answers these questions about what are baseline privacy rights. Europe is moving ahead on us in this respect. They're establishing easy-to-understand standards that apply to all companies. Now, this was promising to me in the hearing. There was no indication from Mr. Zuckerberg that if we had enforceable privacy standards that would apply to all these businesses, that it would interfere with their ability to innovate. And the resistance here in Congress has essentially been, if we do anything to protect consumer privacy, it's going to stop innovation. And here we had probably one of the greatest and most successful innovators of our time saying that's not a problem.
Also wanted to talk to you about the situation in Syria. We are taping this on Thursday afternoon, so we don't know if President Trump has ordered military action against Syria for the alleged chemical attack in that country. Do you think the president has the authority to order these missile strikes in his role as commander-in-chief, or is this a case where congressional approval is needed?
Well, the congressional approval is needed, not just with respect to this possible military strike. And by the way, everybody condemns this outrageous breach of international norms and use of chemical weapons that this Assad regime is doing. But right now, we have about 2,000 troops in Syria, and that's without any congressional discussion, without any congressional debate. And if there's going to be now a military strike with use of missiles, where there's significant potential repercussions with Iran to some extent, with Russia, especially, by the way, after Mr. Bolton is now the national security advisor and is saying that we've got to take on Russia and we've got to take on Iran, that affects the American people. That requires a debate in Congress. That requires a resolution that gives authority or denies it to the president to act. So my view is that we've been in Afghanistan 17 years. We've been in Iraq for 15 years. And the resolution that got us into Iraq has long since expired. ISIS didn't exist at that time. And it's really been, I think, an abdication of responsibility in Congress that we've not taken up this debate on a resolution. President Trump should come to Congress, but Congress should act.
Well, would you support a military response in this case?
I could support a response for a retaliatory response for the use of chemical weapons since it's a violation of international law. But the predicate would be that we'd have allies that were working with us on this, and we would do it in a way which was A, coordinated and cooperative, and B, with the full support of us and our allies. Because I do think there's something that crosses every line when you violate, a country violates international treaty on the agreement not to use chemical weapons.
Congressman, there was also a lot of news this week concerning the Mueller investigation into possible connections between the Trump campaign and the Russians in the 2016 presidential election. There's a bipartisan group of senators who are sponsoring a bill that gives special counsel Robert Mueller the ability to challenge any firing by the president in court. Are you supporting that approach?
I do. I support that. And I'm going to be working with Charlie Dent to introduce a companion bill in the House. This would be a catastrophe for the rule of law if the president fires Mueller mid-investigation. And it's very clear from all his tweets and all his communications that that's what he wants to do. And it's clear that others around him are restraining him. But how long can you restrain President Trump from doing that? But I think it would be extremely dangerous to the constitutional principle of the rule of law if the president, because he was feeling the heat, fired Mr. Mueller.
Why would it be a major catastrophe?
The rule of law requires you do an investigation, and you don't interfere with the investigator. And no one is above the law. And the biggest challenge that any democracy faces is, are the people who enforce the laws subject to the law? And if you're subject to the law when there's an investigation, this, by the way, is being presided over by folks who have Republican affiliations, that goes back to the beginning of the administration, and you stop that investigation before it's completed, that looks very, very likely that it's about to protect yourself so that you're not subject to the rule of law.
Congressman Peter Welch, many thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you.